The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives me, whoever receives you, receives me. And whoever receives me, receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please remain standing.
Bishop Misko, we have the confirmation class of 2026 for Corpus Christi. Candidates, please stand. And Bishop, here is the best class that you're going to encounter this year.
Very good. Y'all can sit down. Thank you so much. Once again, it's great to be here. What a beautiful parish that you have. It is so nice. I was just coming out here, and I'd been here once before to visit with Father Chris, and now I'm here to celebrate Mass, and golly, this is such a nice place to be able to celebrate Mass. So thank you so much for your hospitality, but for those of you who have been members here for a long time, thank you for building this place to the glory of God and for the good of God's people. What a wonderful place to celebrate Mass. And I'm also very grateful to your pastor, Father Chris. He's been here 12 years, and, you know, God's providence is mysterious. We don't always know why God asks us to do the things that he asks us to do. We have to just simply give ourselves over to it. It says it right there in the gospel. Whoever is not willing to lose his life for my sake cannot be my disciple. So life is really about these moments of giving ourselves over to God. I mean, myself, I just experienced as well, living my whole life. Most of my life, I was born in California, but I lived most of my life in Austin, Texas. And when I got that call from the Papal Nuncio that the Holy Father had named me the Bishop of Tucson, that was not on my radar that I'd be moving to Tucson. So you have to lose yourself a little bit. You have to leave the place that you're so accustomed to so that God can use you for his good providence. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but it is the gospel. And so I want to really extend a sincere word of gratitude to Father Chris Orndorff, your pastor, for the 12 years of ministry that he's given here. Think about it. How many people has he anointed? How many people has he given absolution to? How many times has he confected the Eucharist on this altar for you? How many babies has he baptized? How many funerals has he celebrated to send your loved ones to God? So we are deeply indebted to Father for his commitment to this place and for the 12 years of Jesus Christ that he's brought to you as being a priest of Jesus Christ in persona Christi. So Father Chris, God bless you. Thank you for everything. So what Father Chris has done is the same thing that you and I are called to do. He has committed himself to being present to the presence of God. This is what church is all about. This is what our faith is all about. It's not just sentimentality. It's not just saying nice things to each other, although that is a result of encountering the presence of God. This is all about the mysterious providence of God who comes out of time into time every time we celebrate the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. And so we have to make ourselves aware of what's actually happening when we come to celebrate the sacraments. And so that's what I'd like to visit with you all about today, and specifically to our confirmands who are here to encounter the real presence, not the symbolic presence, the real presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so what we do in confirmation is I and the confirmands have a conversation. First of all, to make sure that they're ready to receive the sacrament. And second of all, to help all of us to recultivate in our own hearts what happened when we received our own confirmation. So I'm going to ask a few questions of the confirmands to make this happen. This is a good idea, right?
Right.
All right, so raise your hand if you're planning on being confirmed today. Raise your hand. So I need to know who's going to answer these questions for me. All right, very good. Okay, so let's, again, spirituality, particularly spirituality of the sacraments, is cultivating the awareness of the presence of God. Spiritual people are aware of God's presence, particularly those of us who celebrate the sacraments. So let's be thinking about that as we go through these questions. So who can tell us of the confirmands? This is going to be the easiest question. What is the special sacrament that we're celebrating for you today? Yes, sir. Stand up. What's your first name?
Jonathan.
Excellent. What's the special sacrament we're celebrating for you? Jonathan, perfect answer. Outstanding. No. Yeah, I have some follow-up questions for you. Okay, very good. Yeah. So, confirmation. So, what an interesting word, because you would think that it would be a much more creative word, like the sacrament of confidence, or the sacrament of knowledge, or the sacrament of power. But it's not that. In fact, the word confirmation is kind of a technical word, confirmation. But it is extremely important. Because again, we're trying to be aware of what is God doing in the sacraments. Again, we're not here just to look at the sacraments like they're over there. We're here to cultivate the awareness of what God does in the sacraments. So confirmation, by definition, means that something has already happened that the Holy Spirit is confirming in us. Confirmation is not about something new that is happening in us, because the definition is very clear. It is confirming that something has already happened in us. So Jonathan, right? Do you know what the sacrament is? There's another sacrament that confirmation is confirming that has already happened to us early in our lives. Do you know what that sacrament is? Early. Think early. Like early when you were a baby. Perfect answer, Jonathan. Outstanding. Yeah, confirmation confirms what God did in our baptism. So, Jonathan, let's give Jonathan a round of applause. Good job. So, not all of us, but most of us were baptized as babies, right? And so there are two things that are going to happen to you in this sacrament today that are the exact same things that happened when you were baptized as a baby. So you can imagine our priests or our deacons, they got the baby in its mother's arms, and there's dad and the godparents and all the family. The very first thing that the priest or the deacon does in an infant baptism is he goes up to the baby and he traces a cross on the forehead of the baby and he claims that baby for Christ. And so this goes back to the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, it is not you who choose me, it is I who have chosen you. So at your baptism, you were chosen for Christ. And today in this confirmation, I'm going to trace another cross on your forehead to confirm that you already have been claimed for Christ. And now the Holy Spirit is confirming that you are Christ. This is a very important question that every one of us should ask. You should ask yourself this question every day. To whom do I belong? God or the world? And we vacillate back and forth, kind of belonging to the world. But that's not where you want to be. We belong to God. And it happened at our baptism. You know, Pope Benedict was once asked, what was the most important day of your life? And he didn't say it was the day that he was elected pope. He didn't say that it was the day that he was made a cardinal. He didn't say that it was the day that he was made a bishop. He didn't say that it was the day that he was ordained a priest, or the day that he was confirmed, or the day that he had first communion, or the day he had first reconciliation. He said the most important day of his life was the day of his baptism. And so this confirmation is confirming that that was the most important day of your life, because that was the day that Christ chose you for himself. The second thing that's going to happen is that I'm going to ask you a series of questions about your faith. And they are the exact same questions that were asked of you when you were babies. Whenever I do a baptism for a baby, I just go right up to the baby. It's in his mother's arms. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty? And the baby just kind of looks up at me, and the mother and the father and the godparents say, yes, I do. And then I double down. Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection? And the baby's like, doesn't know what to say, right? And the mother and the father are like, yes, I do. Well, you're not babies anymore. The church teaches that the age of 7 is called the age of reason. When we reach 7 years old, we are able to proclaim our faith through the power of the Holy Spirit by cooperating with that Holy Spirit. So when I ask you those questions today, you will answer by the power of the Holy Spirit the same questions that were answered for you by your parents and your godparents. And this, Jonathan, is how we understand, this is how we are aware of what God is doing in the sacrament, that confirmation is the Holy Spirit confirming something that already happened, our baptism. Now, as I said to you, we're trying to be aware. You know, coming to Mass, the worst thing you could hear is if someone were to say, I'm going to watch Mass. This is not what we do. We come to participate in the mystery of God in Mass. In fact, when we receive the body of Christ, you could say we become participants in God's divinity. This is what that reading was all about when it says that when you go out, people see Christ in you. And so this is what we're thinking about in the sacraments. The sacraments are not something to look at. The sacraments are something that do something in us. You know, a great correlation for this would be Holy Week. I always preach this on Palm Sunday, that Holy Week is not a day for us to be spectators, to just stand and look at Jesus's Passion, Death, Resurrection. Holy Week is a week for us to be participants in his Passion, Death, and Resurrection. So I told you I'm going to trace a cross on your forehead. Can anybody tell me what is the material that I'm going to put my thumb into to trace that cross on your forehead? Does anybody know what that material is? You can talk to your sponsors if you would like. What is the material that I'm going to use to trace that cross on you? I'm going to dip my thumb into some material, and I'm going to trace that. Yeah, stand up. What's your first name? Regina, what's the material? Not ashes. No, Regina, you're doing well. Stand up, stand up. What is the material? Perfect answer, Regina. Outstanding. Yes, it is prism oil. Now stay standing, Regina. Now there are three oils that we use in the celebration of the sacraments. You know what's great about Regina's answer? It means that she's serious about Lent. She comes here every Ash Wednesday. So that is awesome. All right. You know that Ash Wednesday, it's not a holy day of obligation, and yet it is the most attended day in the church year, and it's not a day of holy obligation. So, Regina, I can imagine how you would have answered that way. All right. So the three oils, two of them are blessed by the bishop, the oil of the sick and the oil of the catechumens. But one of the oils is consecrated by the bishop. Now, this is a very important word, consecrated, because the chrism oil that Regina is referring to is consecrated by me. Now, what does that word consecrated mean? Words are so important, and we just let them come in one ear and out the other without really thinking about what they mean. When something is consecrated, it is set apart from all other things to be holy and to do something holy. Remember, in the sacraments, God does something. So on the bread that we have on this altar right here, we always say it's consecrated. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's bread that is set apart from all other bread, because we eat bread all the time, right? It's set apart from other bread to be holy and to do something holy. Well, the chrism oil, which is made of olive oil, is consecrated. It's set apart from all other oil. I mean, how many of our kitchens have olive oil in them right now? Well, this oil is different. It's set apart, it's consecrated to be holy and to do something holy. What does it do? So when I take that chrism and I trace that cross on Regina's forehead, what is going to happen to the oil? It's not just going to disappear off of her forehead like it was never there. Almost immediately, the oil will begin absorbing into Regina's forehead. And that oil, which is consecrated to do something, what is it doing? It's bringing the Holy Spirit into Regina's forehead, into her very person. And it's so real. It's not a symbol. It's so real that when you see Regina walking to her car after Mass, you could say, "Oh, Regina, great job today. Congratulations." And that would be true because it's Regina. She's right here. It would equally be true if you see her walking to her car to say, "Oh, wow, there's the Holy Spirit walking to Regina's car." Because the Holy Spirit and Regina will have become one. The Holy Spirit will have come near, drawn near to Regina, and graciously begun dwelling in Regina. So that from this moment forward, like we heard in our gospel, when we see the other, we see Christ. When you see Regina after her confirmation, you are also looking at the Holy Spirit. Because Regina and the Holy Spirit have drawn together. So when Regina walks out of the church today, the Holy Spirit will make itself known to the world through Regina. And this is what we call in the church holiness. If someone were to ask you, what is holiness? We almost always mistake holiness for piety, which are both good. Piety is a gift of the Holy Spirit. People will say, "Oh, holiness is praying the rosary." Well, it's great to pray the rosary. Keep praying it. But that's not holiness. That's piety. Piety is reverence for God. Holiness is recognizing that God is living in you. Holy people are able to recognize the presence of God in them. So when Regina and her counterparts here receive their confirmation, the Holy Spirit draws near Regina and begins living in Regina, so that when you see Regina, you see the Holy Spirit. This is the nature of the sacraments. This is what we should be aware of. This is way different than just looking at God way over there. In fact, after we receive Holy Communion, we ought to just look at each other, because we'll be looking at Christ when we receive Holy Communion.
So, Regina, this is a big deal. In 7.5 minutes, you're going to come up here, and the Holy Spirit is going to draw near to you and begin living your life with you in a real way. Let's give Regina a round of applause. All right, let's use another example that is so evocative, the Eucharist. What do we call the bread that we put into your hands or on your tongue when we distribute it and you respond, amen? What are the words that you hear when you come down for Holy Communion? Who can tell us what are the, there's three words. What are they? It's got to be one of the confirmants. You got to raise your hand. Yeah, stand up. What's your first name? Esme. What do we call that bread? Esme, perfect answer, the body of Christ. Now, I would suspect that everybody in this church right now, if I asked you, is that bread really the body of Christ? We would all answer yes, right? We believe that, or we're trying to believe that. And I would suspect that if everybody were to turn their heads this direction, back into that corner, right back there, and I asked you, what is in that box? I would suspect you would all say it's the body of Christ, right? And I would suspect that if you walked back there and you walked in front of that box, you would genuflect at it. Not because you're trying to get exercise, because you realize the body of Christ is in that tabernacle, right? And I would suspect that if Father Chris or I were distributing the body of Christ, and if by accident one of those hosts fell to the ground and we didn't notice it, what would you do? I suspect you'd pick it up, right? Or you might say, excuse me, Bishop, our Lord is on the ground right next to you. And then I would immediately pick up the host and I would consume it. And then I would get our altar servers over to make sure that there's no Eucharist. I mean, we would be very aware of that, right? We'd be super engaged in that. Well, I wonder, Esme, are we as aware of what happens to the body of Christ when we consume the body of Christ? It's a big deal. So when Esme comes up and receives the body of Christ, what's going to happen to the body of Christ? It's not just going to disappear into her like it was never there. Immediately, when Esme consumes the body of Christ, Esme and Christ will have made contact. Christ will have come out of eternity into time, and he will have drawn near to Esme and graciously begun dwelling in Esme. And then after that host absorbs into Esme's body, Christ will virtually remain present by virtue of that moment of contact. And it will be so real that after Holy Communion, when you all look at Esme and see her sitting here, you'll be able to say, oh, that's Esme. Yeah, she did great. She's so brave answering the bishop's question. And that would be true. It's Esme. She's right here. You could equally say, yeah, there's Jesus sitting in Esme's place because Esme and Jesus will have made contact. This is the nature of the sacraments. And it's so real that when Esme walks out of church today and she goes about her day, Christ will make himself present to the world through Esme. And this is what we call in the church holiness. Holy people are aware of the presence of God, and they make God present, or God makes himself present to the world through holy people. This is holiness. If someone were to ask you, what is holiness? This is the answer. Holiness is God's presence in me and through me in the world. This is why we celebrate the sacraments. This is the whole foundation of our Catholic identity as a sacramental people. So Esme, it's a big deal for you. Congratulations. It's really a big responsibility. Because when you leave today, not only will you bring Christ's presence to the world, you will bring the Holy Spirit's presence to the world. And everybody who sees you, it's a big responsibility. This is what we call Christian responsibility. To go out into the world and to make sure that everybody out there is aware of what just happened in here. This is a rhetorical question. Don't answer it out loud. When you leave Mass on Sunday and you go to Chipotle or to Guadalajara Grill, or you go out to, you know, Jimmy John's, wherever you're going, when you leave church, this is rhetorical, don't answer it out loud, do the people that see you realize what has just happened? If they don't, we've got some evangelization we have to do. That's the definition of evangelization. It's not complicated. Usually when we talk about evangelization, we say, oh, we got to get a 30-person committee, and we got to get this system set up, and let's strategize this for the next 2 years to figure out how we're going to evangelize the world. This is not what evangelization is. Evangelization is going out there and telling everybody out there what just happened in here. Like, it would be like this, Esme. Oh, yeah, you're not going to believe what just happened to me. What? What happened, Esme? Well, I was at church today, and the bishop came, and I was confirmed, and now when you see me, you see the Holy Spirit. And they're going to say, what? Really? Yes, really. And also, you know what else happened? What? Well, I consumed the body of Christ. And now Christ is living in me. So when you see me, you actually see Christ. And your friends are going to be like, really? Is that like really happening? Yes, it's not a symbol. It's really happening. And then they're going to say, oh, Esme, I would like to have that experience. And you're going to say, yeah, cool, no problem. Come to Corpus Christi with me next week, and I'll show you all about it. And then you're going to bring your friends with you. This is evangelization. If we're not doing this, we're missing a major component of what it means to be a disciple, to tell everybody out there what happens in here. If we're not telling people, it will be easy to fall into the trap of just playing church rather than being church. Being church is very different than playing church. Being church means that what happens in here has a significant impact out there. So Esme, today is the day you're going out as a Christian disciple. Big deal. We're super proud of you, and we have high hopes for you. I think you're going to do well, Esme. Let's show Esme our appreciation for her. Good job. So before we get into our confirmations, I'll just leave you with this one image. God, this is such a powerful image. In spirituality, there is this image or this idea of thin places. That in life, we experience from time to time thin places. A thin place is when the distance between heaven and earth is so thin that you can't tell where heaven ends and earth begins. I'll give you an example. Some time ago, I was in Jerusalem, Israel, standing in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, saying Mass, 5 feet above where Jesus resurrected from the dead. In the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, there's a little chapel in the middle, and you go in there, and there's a marble altar, a slab, and if you pull that slab off and go down 5 feet, that's the entrance to the tomb where Jesus resurrected from the dead. Man, when I was celebrating Mass there, that's a thin place. The distance between heaven and earth is very thin. Or standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon on an ice-cold, crystal-clear winter morning. Thank God for the railing. You go up to the edge and you're looking out over the Grand Canyon. That's a thin place. Or how about this? The James Webb Telescope. Do you know that the James Webb Telescope has now established that there are 2 billion galaxies in the universe, in the known universe. And in the Milky Way, 3 trillion planets in our own Milky Way, in our own Milky Way, in our own galaxy. That's a thin place, man. When you look at the images, boy, heaven is pressing in, or heaven is enveloping earth. This is a thin place. Or a mother who has a child. She carries her child for 9 months, goes through labor, and then, like, right in front of her, the child is put into her arms. This is a thin place. Heaven is pressing in on earth. You know what the thinnest place of all is? There's no thinner place of all than the sacraments. Because when we receive the sacraments, the distance between us and God is so thin that you can't tell where you end and God begins. We don't become God. God is God and we are we. But God presses in so close into us that we can't tell the distance between us and God. It's too thin. It's a thin place. This is the nature of the sacraments. This is what's about to happen to you and to us when we receive the body of Christ. And our challenge? We have to be aware of this. We can't just come to Mass and say, whatever, I got other things to do after Mass. I'm just getting my Mass in today. Can't do that. We have to come here and we actually have to work at it. We have to work at the spirituality of the Mass and we have to figure out what's happening here. Lord, help me. And then when the Lord unveils his presence in the sacraments, we have to be aware of that so that we don't fall into the trap of just playing church. We're not here to play church. We are here to be church. And that's what happens in the sacraments. So, let us all be very attentive right now to what's about to happen to our young brothers and sisters here in this sacrament. Let's not be thinking about this afternoon. Let's use our religious imagination to see the Holy Spirit coming in here, to draw close to them, and now to graciously dwell within them. So, confirmands, please stand. Those who are to be confirmed, please stand. As I mentioned to you at the beginning of my remarks, most of us were baptized as babies, but you're not babies anymore. And these questions that I'm about to ask you are the same questions that were asked of you when you were baptized. And so with great confidence and with great confidence and with the power of the Holy Spirit, make sure that you answer these questions with strength. St. Thomas More always answered questions with strength. And so even though sometimes the Lord seems subtle, his Holy Spirit will give you its presence so that you won't be subtle. You'll be strong. The answer to these questions is, I do. Do you renounce Satan and all his works and empty promises?
I do.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who today, through the sacrament of confirmation, is given to you in a special way, just as he was given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost? Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? This is our faith. This is the faith that you were baptized into, and this is the faith that right now the Holy Spirit is going to confirm into you forever. And so, my friends, let us continue to pray, asking God's presence to be among us, that God the Almighty Father will give these, his adopted sons and daughters, already born again to eternal life in baptism, graciously pour out the Holy Spirit upon them to confirm them with his abundant gifts and through his anointing to conform them more fully to Christ, the Son of God. I ask Father Chris to come and join me as we pray over these candidates. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought these, your servants, to new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, freeing them from sin. Send upon them, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety, and fill them with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now I ask the candidates and their sponsors to come forward for confirmation. Deacon William. Catherine, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Martin, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Guadalupe, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Thaddeus, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Mary, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Michael, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Monica, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Anthony, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Therese, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Anthony, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Francis, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Joseph, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Cecilia, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Matthew, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Rose, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Zachariah, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Zita, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Joseph, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Therese, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you.